The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1. Text now to 51551 or email mooney@rte.ie.
Hello and welcome to the programme. It's been three long weeks since we were last with you, and suddenly it's on us.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why.
Why?
Santa Claus is coming to town, gather round. He's making a list, checking it twice, he's gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good,
so be good for goodness sake.
You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming to town. We've a full house. Where's Joe Duffy when you need him? And Sil Fox. And Uncle Bob, is Uncle Bob in the junior normally with the gang?
Absolutely,
they would have done that
no,
in unison.
No, I'm Billy, no mates tonight.
June Rogers is here. We have a very, very busy show ahead of us. Noel Cunningham is here. Noel, you're very welcome to the programme again.
And a very good evening and great to be back.
You nearly said good morning, Ireland, didn't you?
I almost said good morning, Ireland. Well, good evening, Ireland.
Stephen Falloon from the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre is here. Stephen, you're very welcome too.
Happy Christmas!
Happy Christmas to everybody.
Because it's December, we can say it now. Finally, we can say it. Happy Christmas.
Santa's going to be here with us on Christmas Eve. You know that already. It's a tradition. It's like Joe on Grafton Street.
Absolutely.
On Christmas Eve.
It's warmer here.
Of December. So if you've got little people in your house, make sure they're getting busy now sending their letters in to us so that we can give them direct to Santa for them. And you never know, they might even get to speak to the big man himself on the radio.
Ooh.
Santa's hotline, Santa, please hold.
It only happens once a year. The phones in RTE go into meltdown.
Hello, Santa Claus speaking.
It's the only chance you have to talk directly to the big man himself.
This is Santa Claus here.
Hello.
Thank you very much for the lovely letter you sent in.
If you want to send a message to Santa, all you've got to do is email mooney@rte.ie, or you can send your letter to Santa, care of the Mooney Show, RTE Radio 1, Donnybrook, Dublin. And then tune into the Mooney Show from 2 p.m. on Christmas Eve on RTE Radio 1.
Those details again are that Santa will be here on the 24th of December on RTE Radio 1, as he has been for the last 10 years. He's fantastic. To give up so much time before he sets off on that amazing journey. It's a magical journey. It's a very long journey which carries him all around the world with his magic reindeer. They fly, June. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
The reindeer fly.
Really?
Yes. High in the sky.
Well, I'll have my carrot and my glass of Guinness. Isn't it glass of Guinness?
No. Milk. Glass of milk.
Oh, is it? Oh, our house is always a glass of Guinness.
He has to drive. He has to drive the sleigh.
Sorry.
Well, I suppose he is. But yeah, he is, isn't he?
Oh, he is driving.
Well,
imagine if he had a glass of Guinness in every house.
No, but that was for Santa.
Does Rudolph not drive the sleigh?
Well, Rudolph guides it, but Santa's still on the front, steering it.
No. I'm sure there's somebody out there who knows. There's boys and girls out there listening right now who could text 51551 and they could tell us.
Yeah.
But if you want Santa to speak to you on the radio on Christmas Day, if you want him to read out your letter, then you can send your letter to Santa, care of the Mooney Show, RTE Radio 1 in Dublin 4. Or you can email mooney@rte.ie. All of those details, get your mums and dads or your guardian, your best mates, your big mates to help you fill in the details or get the details off to us, and visit the website rte.ie for more information. It's that straightforward. Now, as I said, June Rogers is here with us. Stephen Falloon is here with us. And so too is Noel Cunningham here with us. So you're all very welcome to the programme again. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Derek.
Because what we decided to do was have a bit of fun tonight. And we'd like you to join in the fun. So you can text 51551 also with your favourite funny moment from radio or TV, or that is somewhere recorded that we can broadcast again. And if you send in something, if we can find it, we might get it on air before the end of the programme. But that's what the guys have done. They've chosen their favourite funny moments from radio and TV, sketches, that is.
Yeah.
And we're going to just have a laugh tonight. Isn't that what we're going to do?
Absolutely.
But before we start having a laugh, June, what happened to your arm?
I fell.
What happened exactly?
No Guinness involved.
No.
I just, it happened this time last year. the night before I was due to open the show, I just tripped and fell, thought I broke my leg. And it wasn't until January when I got the MRI, they realised there was a deep tear in the rotator cuff of the shoulder, which I didn't know I had one of those. But anyway, the pain was really, really bad. And they injected during the year with steroids, the whole shebang. But eventually, as he, you know, he said, it was inevitable it was going to happen. It's just like paper once you tear it. So the whole rotator cuff tore and I had to have surgery. So, yeah, so no show. Had to cancel everything.
So you're not at the Red Cow this year?
No,
so
nothing.
So that's the first time in how many years?
Well, I'm there 16 years. But
no,
like,
way.
Yeah,
as long as I'm living in the house, actually.
Yeah. And,
oh, that's
but
so
it's 25
sad.
Years. It's the first time in 25 years.
That there's no June Rogers Christmas show or you're not in a Christmas show?
No, not in a show, yeah.
Could you not even be in Panto or something like that? Sitting in the wings, you could be wheeled out or something. No, seriously, I mean... I mean, you could be brought
that
on.
That day will come, but hopefully not this soon. No, well, I actually had to follow what the surgeon said.
Oh,
and he said, unless you mind this, he said 8 years down the road, we'd have to probably replace the whole thing.
But did you do the show when it happened first?
I had to do it.
You went right through.
Yeah, you see, I didn't realise I'd done the damage.
Now, remember, she thought she'd broken her leg. Her arm was fine.
No, I actually did. Because my leg was up like a balloon.
I know.
It wasn't until a week into the show I said, oh, there's something wrong with this. But you
we
know,
had
Derek.
A lot of pain.
Oh, a huge amount of pain. I was on loads of painkillers every night.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't kind of pull a sickie when you're doing a Christmas show. That's just...
Not at all.
Show must go on.
So, the thing was, as you said, I actually did more damage because I was doing a full workout. Because you know my show, there's like 20, at least 20 costume changes. So, arms up, you know, that's the way it was. So, anyway, that's where I am. So, and I do miss my pole dancing
class. How do you cover yourself? I'm sure you do, but how do you cover yourself for an incident like that? I mean, do you get insurance? I'm not prying. Well, of course I'm prying. But I mean, you're going to miss out on all that income this year.
You just have to take it on the chin. That's it. You know, I don't have insurance for
that.
I'm self-employed.
No. You can get that kind of self-employed insurance, whatever they call it, in case you're out of work.
I didn't know. I honestly, I've never, until you said that there now.
Well, I suppose you never thought I'm going to be sick.
No.
Well,
you do get sick, but you just have to get on with it. Unfortunately, that's the business we're in. You know, I know lots of people in the business whose, you know, family members passed away and they have to get up that night and do the show. And that's just the way it is because people are paying money to come out and see you. So they don't want to know about your ailments, basically, you know. And the audience didn't know. I was up there every night. I was happy as Larry. I had loads of, painkillers. But it wasn't until afterwards then I realised that, you know, I actually had done more damage, you know. So anyway.
Didn't that happen to one of, it's going to sound stupid, one of Jedward. Was it John or Edward?
Oh, yeah, it
when
did.
They were on stage for BBC. Was it a BBC? I better not mention BBC on the off chance we run ourselves into a problem now. They were doing a concert somewhere live.
Yeah.
And one of them was doing backflips or front flips or triple flips.
And his ankle.
And broke his ankle and continued doing the show.
Yeah.
I thought, he was in and out in a wheelchair. Yeah. Took advantage of it. But yours is a different kettle.
No. He continued doing the dancing on the stage.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, I don't think he knew. He just thought.
Sometimes you don't notice the pain because the adrenaline is flowing through you. You're on stage, you're in the middle of a routine, something happens, you don't notice it because you're so focused.
Yeah.
And it's only afterwards when the adrenaline leaves you that the pain kicks in.
Absolutely.
So 3 months later, June, you realise.
Well, actually, it's now a year and it's going to be another 6 months.
Oh, gosh.
Since the operation. Like, I've had the operation now 2 months. I'm not back driving or anything yet now. So he said it'll be at least May till we see that everything...
How did you get in here today?
Peter drove me.
Oh, that's grand because we have a very strict policy on taxis. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
So you're not allowed to get one in.
So I'm walking home
then. I can't remember.
So I'm walking home. Is that what you're saying, Derek?
Well,
thanks,
Steve will give you a piggyback.
Happy Christmas to you.
But did you find... June, did you find that very hard? I mean, do you ever get cranky? Do you ever get annoyed and... pissed off, basically.
What?
And the whole thing
bell?
Of being
no.
you know, being laid up
no.
while not being able.
Listen, I was
sorry, June, for a second. Apologise to the listener.
I apologise for using that word.
Very surprised
I was down about it to start with because I'm so used to going from one show to another. But you just have to then realise, listen, there's nothing I can do about this. You just have to go with the flow.
And you get to enjoy Christmas for the first time in how many
years?
Well,
actually, it's great to have a bit of normality. Like, my head is actually empty. You could have told you that years ago. But I would normally have a show in my head and every day and every night I go through the whole thing. My life would be that, you know. And really, I would have probably opened the show last week. So it's not only that, you're thinking about the whole team of people I've worked with for all these years
they're
as well.
They're all out of work.
Because they're out of work
so
this
they're
year.
Sticking
there's
pins
some of them
have
got pantomimes and absolutely. Yeah. You know, but it's not only that, it's the people who've come to see me over the years. And I have to say, the amount of emails and messages and on Facebook and all that kind of stuff, that people really, it's part of their tradition.
Yeah.
Because people used to come and see me as kids in pantomime, and they've continued that on. So it's a family, because it is a family show, you know, that way. Oh, speaking of Facebook, I have to say hello to all my Facebook.
We weren't speaking of Facebook.
But I was. Okay. And Sean Denehan down in Limerick. Mm-hmm. I have to say a special hello to him because Sean Facebooked me before I came out this evening. So,
hello, Sean.
How are you, Sean?
Well, now that you give me the opportunity, I have to say hello to my nephew, Sean Fox. Oh. Okay. Who's listening, who lives around the corner from you, as it happens.
Oh, does he?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Tell him to pop around
so
to me.
So they're up there listening in tonight. So hello, Sean Fox, and hello to Sean Denna.
Hi,
and
Sean
hello
Fox.
To everybody else. And hello to Ronan, who's just sent in a text message. Now, I'm sure Ronan's probably a little bit older. He says, hi, Derek, great to hear you back on the air. Now, he's never mentioned, he hasn't mentioned you, June. He hasn't mentioned Noel.
I hate him.
Thanks, Ronan.
Thanks, Ronan. Yeah.
Happy Christmas, Ronan.
Is there a Mooney Tunes coming up? One of my mum and my favourite traditions. Thanks, Ronan. No, there isn't. There will be a kind of, what would you call it, reading in the ears of Mooney Tunes, which you can hear on Christmas evening at 8 p.m. But we have no live show this year.
Oh,
there was supposed to be one. It was supposed to be last week, but between the jigs and the reels, we couldn't get it together.
But, so,
there will be
back.
One in the new year.
It will
I hope
be
so,
back.
Yeah, I hope so, because the RT Concert Orchestra are very anxious to do it.
And the theatre wants it back.
Yeah, the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre must be the only night of the year you fill the house. No, you were
well,
there, June, weren't you?
Yeah. Beg your pardon. I filled the Bord Gáis. Actually, I really enjoyed. I love that theatre. And I really got a buzz out of all the years doing shows. But to actually go out on a Saturday evening and think 2,000 people decided to come out and see the show tonight, which is actually
well,
really
that's not quite the story. You had advertised somebody else, hadn't you?
They thought they were going to a Kraftwerk concert. We just never said it to you, Jane.
Do you want to take it outside, pal? No, but I really enjoyed that night. I really did. So I'll have to do it
because
again.
There was a great buzz that night. There was a great atmosphere.
It was a step up for you in many ways, wasn't it? No,
it was, yeah.
But you may not know, and what Noel may not know. I came across June first. I met her at the John Player Toms.
That's right.
I always remember a preview, should I say, and I'm almost 100% sure it was in the Sunday World. Now, it may have not been the Sunday World, so my apologies to our friends at the Sunday World. Okay. But the preview on the Sunday said, you know, the preview, what's on tonight? The John Player Tops is on tonight. You're going out.
Really?
Yeah. But it was fantastic.
It was.
But probably it had a huge ratings.
Of course it did.
And it was a terrific programme. I wish they'd bring it back.
It was variety.
Or something like it.
Variety.
Proper variety, yeah.
Yeah, because
proper entertainment,
yeah,
and proper
because,
funny.
Because variety is coming back. It was kind of a dirty word for a while. Mm. People spoke about, oh, variety is very this, that and the other. But people love it, you know.
Do you think it's coming back? Is that
well,
kind
Britain's
of a
got thing? Talent.
Yes,
Britain's got
Ireland at the London Palladium, that kind of thing.
Well, it's back on ITV. Yeah. There is a new series.
I don't like Sunday Night at the Palladium.
Yeah. Anton sorry? Deck, that's
I don't like Sunday Night at the Palladium.
The more recent one?
No.
No,
like
I
it.
Don't like the more recent one. But I love the old sort of the music hall and I love the old Sunday Night at the Palladium. Yeah. And
but stuff like Britain's Got Talent and America's Got Talent, that's brought it back again.
It
because
has.
That is pure variety. Yeah. And it's, most,
it's a mix of everything, isn't
it's
it?
It's a mix of everything. And the
absolutely.
Fact that you don't know what you're going to see next is
yes,
brilliant.
Absolutely.
It's like a box of chocolates.
Exactly.
Yeah, a bit like me.
But why don't you do a show, June, just static and get other people on stage to dress in the different characters? No, would that not work?
I beg your pardon?
Down at the Bord Gáis.
It's not you.
Yeah.
I think you, because you're the life
about.
And soul.
We
you're
just want
center.
You back.
I know. No, you see, the thing is, it's a full production and I have my singers and dancers and they
And the costume
allow,
is all part of it. And,
of course. And the costume is very important.
Yeah.
Because
the different characters,
if they're
you
actually
immediately
laughing
know.
Before you open your mouth, because the costumes have to be comical as well.
Yeah.
You but you'll be back.
I'll be back.
You'll be back.
As Arnold Sausage Burger says, I'll be back.
Anyway, we're going to have some fun now. So we're going to start with one of your sketches, Stephen. So what would it be? We'll start with you. You pick one.
Okay, which one will I pick? I'm going to pick the classic one.
Okay.
The Two Ronnies. Right?
Oh, we all love the Two Ronnies.
Yes.
The Two Ronnies. Ronnie Barker, to me, is the ultimate comic genius. And,
wait,
and
which one was Ronnie Barker? Was he the tall one? Or the,
he was the tall
one. Taller.
And Ronnie was the writer. So he wrote all these sketches.
Yeah.
Sketches, and
absolutely.
He had an amazing ability to do funny word plays. And this sketch that we're going to hear is from Mastermind. You know that classic quiz show where I never get any answers right because they're all really, really smart.
Yeah.
But so this was their take on it, and it's just incredibly funny and incredibly clever.
And so to our first contender, Good evening. Your name, please.
Good evening.
Your chosen subject was answering questions before they were asked. This time, you have chosen to answer the question before last each time. Is that correct?
Charlie Smithers.
And your time starts now. What is paleontology?
Yes, absolutely correct.
What's the name of the directory that lists members of the peerage?
A study of old fossils.
Who are Len Murray and Sir Geoffrey Howe?
Burks.
Correct. What is the difference between a donkey and an ass?
One's a trade union leader, the other's a member of the cabinet.
Complete the quotation, to be or not to be?
They're both the same.
Correct. What is Bernard Manning famous for?
That is the question.
Correct. Who is the present Archbishop of Canterbury?
He is a fat man who tells blue jokes.
Correct. What do people kneel on in church?
The Right Reverend Robert Runciman. Correct.
What do tarantulas prey on?
Hassocks.
Correct. What would you use a ripcord to pull open?
Large flies.
Correct. What sort of a person lived in Bedlam?
A parachute.
Correct. What is a jockstrap?
A nutcase.
For what purpose would a decorator use methylene chlorides?
A form of athletic support.
Correct. What did Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec do?
Paint strippers.
Who is Dean Martin?
He's a kind of artist.
Yes, what sort of artist?
Pass.
That's near enough. What make of vehicle is the standard London bus?
A Singer.
Correct. In 1892, Brandon Thomas wrote a famous long-running English farce. What was it?
British Leyland.
Correct. Complete the following quotation. I've started, so I finished. Complete the following quotation about Mrs. Thatcher. Her heart may be in the right place, but her...
Charlie's aunt.
Correct.
And even today, even though it could be people listening may not be old enough to remember the characters that they're mentioning, all the various individuals, the names, but you still get the gag.
Oh, totally. And it's like, it's really funny because it makes you work too. Because you're thinking
about it.
You have to really think because you're focusing on what was the question before.
Yeah.
So it's incredibly clever.
Ronnie Corbett, I wonder how many times they did it. Do you think they did it in one take?
Oh, I'd say no. I'd say that took a lot of time. How long did it take to write?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it must have taken ages to write.
He's just a comic genius. He really was. And they said like, years ago, he used to write comedy and send it in under a different name.
Yeah, he was right, yeah.
No, but that was when variety was really, you know, comedy, the 60s and 70s, wasn't it?
Mm.
The Morecambe and Wise, Two Ronnies, Kenny Everett, all that kind of, those huge, huge comedy and variety.
I remember the Morecambe and Wise Christmas special. Do you remember, like, that was
every
like
Christmas,
such an institution, like, that you watched the Morecambe and Wise Christmas show. Like, literally the whole population watched it on BBC.
Yes, yes. And what is there now in Christmas Day.
Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Mrs. Brown's Boys, of course.
It's doing really, really well, in fairness to them. I mean,
but before that,
18 million
wasn't.
Last year over the two
That's
nights,
brilliant.
Christmas Day,
isn't
and
great?
As they call
all
it, Boxing Day in the
like
UK.
EastEnders and Fur City. So yeah, we just have a big bunch of misery now on Christmas night.
I don't get it. I don't know why people watch soaps on Christmas. I don't know why they watch them anyway, but why they watch them on Christmas Day, where you know something horrendous is going
to happen.
Do you
know why?
It's never going to be happy.
But do you know why? It's because, like, no matter how bad your day has been, somebody's day has been.
No, that's not the reason.
No matter what argument you had with your sister, you know, it's not that bad because somebody's just killed each other in EastEnders.
Brian has been on to say, Derek, poor June, I broke me shoulder and I was out for 18 months.
Oh.
Oh, the pain of that injury, something else, he says. And so long to cure. Best of luck to June. She is great. I heard her on Joe Duffy 2 weeks ago. Oh. She has some laugh. She would put you in great form, says Ryan. All right.
Thank you, Brian.
And staying with Joe Duffy, he's hogging the programme now. He's probably texting these in himself. Friday the 30th of October, Funny Friday with Joe Duffy. The sketch with the Healy Ray brothers has to be the funniest thing on radio all year. Can you please play this clip as your listeners will enjoy it? Thanks, Derek, from Daveville, Killarney. Well, we're looking up the archive to see if we can find it as we speak.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1. Santa's hotline. Please hold.
It only happens once a year. The phones in RTE go into meltdown.
Hello, Santa Claus speaking.
It's the only chance you have to talk directly to the big man himself.
This is Santa Claus here.
Hello.
Thank you very much for the lovely letter you sent in.
If you want to send a message to Santa, all you've got to do is email Mooney at rte.ie. Or you can send your letter to Santa, care of the Mooney Show, RTE Radio 1, Donnybrook, Dublin 4. And then tune into the Mooney Show from 2 p.m. on Christmas Eve on RTE Radio 1.
Did you write many letters to Santa? Do you still write them, June? Did you write them when you were a child? Do you still write them?
Oh, I still write them.
And were you ever disappointed?
No. Santa always brought me.
Because, you know, he can't bring everything to everybody that they ask for on their wish list.
But this year I have asked for I just want one thing.
Love.
No, Aidan Turner, your man from Baldur. Just put him in a stocking. I'd be quite happy with that.
Really?
Christmas morning.
Do you think he's good looking?
Oh, he's gorgeous.
What's gorgeous about him?
Oh, he's just very attractive.
Listen, that's women for you all.
And
over
he says the same about me. So, you know, it's just it's a win-win situation.
He's attractive, but he's not. I mean, I watch I've never seen the programme, but I've seen him, obviously.
And you watch the news presenters
in the early morning on BBC and stuff talking about the series when it's coming on and swooning. And I think he's not that good looking. He's okay. Yeah. I mean, he's not ugly, but he's not that.
I think he seems to be very embarrassed by the whole thing too. He seems to be mortified. Going,
all the women love him.
Aidan Turner. He's loving every minute of it.
How do you know him?
I met him when I did the clinic. Remember, I did the clinic. The clinic that was used to be on RTE. Remember, I got a part of it, and I was on it for like 2 seconds, and you never let me live it down because I put on my CV. I appeared in the clinic.
Well, you've been.
I appeared in the clinic.
I heard you're on
what
many clinics. Anyway,
but he was in that. He played the receptionist in
best,
that.
Best to look to him is what I would
gorgeous.
Say, but I don't think he's all that.
Well, now, I think all the women out there would disagree with
you. I'm sure they would. Look what they're married to. They've no taste. Now, Brenda, I was going to call you June.
Yeah.
What's your sketch?
Well, my one is called A Call from Long Island, and it's an American comedy. It came back in the 60s. I just think it's fantastic because I love the American twang, you know, mama. So, listen to this one. I think you'll have
a good
laugh. Who's in it? The woman is called Rita Rudner, and then Joan Rivers.
I love Rita Rudner.
Oh, Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
Love Joan Rivers.
So I think it's Rita Rudner who's doing this particular one.
Hello?
Hello, Mama.
Hello, darling. How are you?
Terrible, Mama. Terrible.
What is it, sweetheart? Tell Mama.
Oh, Mama.
What?
Mama. We're snowed in here.
Oh.
The car wouldn't start this morning. I think both kids have the measles.
Oh.
The doctor can't come until 5 o'clock. I'm coming down with a cold. The freezer is broken and all the food is spoiled. And the house is a mess. And on top of that, Mama, 20 ladies from my Hadassah chapter are coming for lunch at 1 o'clock. Mama, what am I gonna do?
Don't worry, sweetheart. Mother is here. First of all, I'll go to the supermarket and I'll pick up to eat. Then I'll take the subway to the Long Island Railroad and I'll take the train.
Oh, Mama, I don't
please,
want
darling,
you to...
it's only an hour and a half to the bus. And then I'll take the bus, and from where the bus stopped, I'll walk the 14 blocks to your house. And for you, darling, I'll put the children to bed, and for you, I'll change the sheets and I'll give them an aspirin so they shouldn't yell, and I'll clean up the house, and I'll cook something nice for the 20 ladies. They'll love it. Just don't worry, darling. Everything will be okay. Isn't that what a mother is for?
Oh, Mama, thank you. I feel so much better.
By the way, sweetheart, if it's snowing and the car wouldn't start this morning, how did Sam get to work?
Sam? What Sam?
Sam, your husband.
My husband's name is Paul. Is this Tremont 71166?
No, this is Tremont 71177.
Does that mean you're not coming?
Isn't it brilliant?
It's a slow burner, but it gets there.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Love it. Noel, you've got one for us.
Well, it's appropriate maybe this week because of the death of Andrew Saxer, the announcement of the death, because of course Fawlty Towers, we're talking about sort of times gone by with those sort of great sort of shows and that, and sure, Fawlty Towers, we all kind of know it and we love it and we adore it, and we love it because, you know, we could identify with Basil Fawlty, you know, because we've all known a hotelier or a person who is a bumbling idiot, and, you know,
well, you're one of those, a hotelier,
absolutely. But you know, there are such hoteliers around. That's probably what I'm saying, as well as just in general life, you will find people who put their size nines in it all the time. So let's have a listen. This is just a fabulous sort of little segment.
Sybil! She's in the hospital, you silly girl!
Yes, call her there!
I can't! I've got too much to do. Listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten now, and let's hear no more about it. So that's two egg mayonnaise, a prawn Goebbels, a Hermann Göring, and four colded salads. Oh, wait a moment, I got a bit confused here. Sorry, I got a bit confused because everyone keeps mentioning the war. So could you... What's the matter?
It's all right.
Is there something wrong?
Will you stop talking about the war?
Me? You started it?
We did not start it.
Yes, you did. You invaded Poland. Yeah. This'll cheer you up. You'll like this one. There's this woman. She's completely stupid. She'd never remember anything. And her husband's in a bomber over Berlin. She'll love this one. She'll laugh at...
Leave her alone.
No, this is a scream. I mean, I've never seen anyone not laugh at
this. Away!
Look, she'll love it. She's German.
Mr.
Bobby. What?
Do Jimmy Cagney instead.
What?
Jimmy Cagney.
Jimmy Cagney?
You know, your dirty rat.
I can't do Jimmy Cagney.
Oh, please try. I'm going to get you.
Shut up. Here, watch. Who's this then? Struck you, my knuckles. I'll do the funny more. Oh. He's gone.
That's a very visual sketch. We get it because we've all seen it. But that one is very visual because he's doing the goose walk. Isn't that what he's doing?
But you know something? I know more than what you said earlier about sort of the sketch about sort of people who may not have been around when this was sort of at its zenith. I think even current generations know and watch box sets and back issues and back editions of Fawlty Towers.
No, they don't. What generation?
Well, it's still on telly all the time.
Yeah. Really, yeah. I know these things are... It's like...
Because they're evergreen. And, you know, some of the sort of terminology has gone into modern parlance and will remain there, you know, forevermore.
Well, you mentioned Andrew Sachs earlier, and we've had a text message in saying, RIP, Andrew Sachs, who remembers Leonard Sachs and City Varieties? And I heard John Cleese was talking about Andrew Sachs. I think it was on the Today programme on Radio 4. Anyway, he was saying that he was a very unassuming character, Andrew Sachs. Never would have mistaken him for a comedian if you met him. More like kind of a bank manager, and a retired bank manager at that, and very polite. And then once he put the little moustache on, you got this kind of performance.
Manuel, there is too much butter on those trays.
Hey.
There is too much butter on those trays.
No, senor.
What?
Not on those trays. No, sir. Uno, dos, tres.
No. I'm mucho burro ali.
Okay?
I'm mucho burro ali.
Ah, mantequilla.
What?
Okay. Mantequilla. Burro is Burro. Burro.
Manuel, por favor, momento.
Si.
Nothing, dear. I'm just dealing with it.
He speak good, how you say?
English.
Mantequilla. Solamente dos.
Dos.
Well, don't look at me. You're the one who's supposed to be able to speak it.
Two pieces. Two each. Arriba, arriba!
I don't know why you wanted to hire him, Basil.
Because he's cheap and keen to learn, dear, and in this day and age...
But why did you say you could speak the language?
I learned classical Spanish, not the strange dialect he seems to have picked up.
He was a great actor. I mean, it was... John Cleese said, nobody else could have played that part.
Indeed not. And his wife wrote...
Only him.
His wife wrote very movingly this week as well about sort of the last 4 years living with dementia and that, you know. So that will also, believe it or not, be quite inspiring and do some good as well, because a lot of people identified with what she'd said, you know.
Especially at the moment, because there's a big advertising campaign.
Indeed.
On now. You see it around the country, see all the billboards.
And as you said, I still think as well, and June, maybe you'd kind of know more about this, I think a lot of very funny people, very comical people, and sort of that come across so funny and so well, behind that facade there's sort of a loneliness and an isolation and even perhaps depression. So, you know, I don't know. I think that it's you know, quite normal to see somebody who's that larger than life figure. We heard that young lad talk about it on Brendan O'Connor, you know, who would have thought that he would have any problem with sort of mental health.
Al Porter,
yes. And then all of a sudden, you know, we see a completely different vulnerable side of that man that we think was able to conquer the world and has no fears or not a care in the world. And I think Andrew Sachs was one of those. He was a deep man.
Certainly later in life. Anyway, Derek, Mary Foster here in Limerick, wish June a speedy recovery. This is the first time
Mary
in 16 years that I missed her show.
Oh, Mary. Mary comes up from... Hiya, Mary.
And Therese in Sligo says, Derek, lovely to have your company in the kitchen when preparing some grub. Thank you very much indeed. Greetings to all, and especially June. I've worked with her for many years, and last year's show really showed the true professional she always is, even in great pain. She gave it her heart and soul. A great performer and an absolute lady. I'm missing the madness, darling. Lots of love from Cathy Kavanagh.
I'm going to damage my
fantastic
shoulder. I really am. You're getting all the comments, all
Cathy,
the sympathy. I'm not feeling well, Derek. I've been quite poorly for the last year. Yes,
really?
I've not been able to act.
It was good while it lasted. No. It was nice knowing you. Anybody got a piece of music for me?
Christmas music.
Yeah, didn't you pick a piece?
Do you know what I did? And actually, it's one of the best Christmas... It is the best Christmas song I know, and it's quite kind of an obvious one, but that's what makes it so brilliant. It's Fairy Tale of New York, The Pogues with Kirsty MacColl.
Oh,
it's just pure classic. It's the darkness and the love of Christmas all in one lyric with the most beautiful melody and just the greatest Kirsty MacColl, rest in peace.
That's
just absolutely brilliant.
I thought you would have chosen something from the Communards.
Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in like 10 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
And they're almost dead on a drip in that bed.
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheat.
someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you. For Christmas Day.
Twitter at RTE Mooney.
Connor has been on to say hi. Derek, thank God you're back to rescue us. What am I rescuing Connor from, I wonder?
Himself.
Best TV sketch for me is the two Ronnies and the fork candles. Remember that?
I love the fork candles.
Yeah. You're showing your age.
Yeah.
Thanks, says Connor. But the fork candle, that is
funny. It is, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Again, Ronnie Barker, yeah.
And you know,
genius.
Going back again, young people know these sketches.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just sort of a certain generation.
Says Connor, who's 72.
It's like Del and Rodney. Del,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just keep watching
Monge those. Two, Rodney, Monge two. Two.
Give us another one of yours, June. Because you're funny. You know funny. These two, I'm not too sure. But you know funny.
Well, one of them actually was introduced to me by my late father-in-law, and he was a great mimic himself. But anyway, this is a Bob Newhart. And if you can imagine Sir Walter Raleigh having a conversation with the head of West India Company, and he's sending a shipment of tobacco, and this is a new discovery. So have a listen and see what you think.
Yeah, who is it, Murray? Sir Walter Raleigh from the colony. Oh, yeah, put him on, will you? Harry? Yeah, you want to pick up the extension? It's Nutty Wall again. Hi, Wall, baby. How are you, guy? How's everything going? Oh, things are fine here, Wall. Did we get the what? Tobacco. What's tobacco, Wall? It's a kind of leaf. And you bought 80 tons of it. Let me get this straight now. Well, you bought 80 tons of leaves? This may come as kind of a surprise to you, Walt, but come fall in England here, we're kind of up to our... It isn't that kind of leaf. What is it? A special food of some kind, is it, Walt? Not exactly. It has a lot of different uses. Like, what are some of the uses, Walt? Are you saying snuff, Walt? What's snuff? You take a pinch of tobacco. And you shove it up your nose. And it makes you sneeze, huh? I imagine it would, Walt, yeah. It has some other uses, though. You can chew it, or put it in a pipe, or you can shred it up and put it on a piece of paper and roll it up. Don't tell me, Walt. Don't tell me. You stick it in your ear, right? Well. All between your lips. Well, then what do you do to it? Well. You set fire to it, Wallace. Then what do you do, Wallace? You inhale the smoke. You know, Wallace, it seems offhand like you can stand in front of your fireplace and have the same thing going for you, you know? See, Wallace, we've been a little worried about you, you know. Ever since you put your cape down over that mud, you know. See, well, I think you're going to have kind of a tough time selling people on sticking burning leaves in their mouth.
But he was brilliant with those kind of sketches.
Oh,
wasn't there one he did where somebody was learning to drive as well?
I remember
that one.
Yes, brilliant.
That was particularly funny.
Yeah.
He's great. You can contact us by emailing mooney@rte.ie. So do stay tuned towards the end of the programme for more details, or for those details again, on how your loved ones, your little ones, can write to Santa. And hopefully have Santa read out their letter or say hello to them, even speak to them on Christmas Eve. He'll be here on RTE Radio 1.
The Mooney Show on RTE Radio 1.
Santa's hotline. Please hold.
It only happens once a year. The phones on RTE go into meltdown.
Hello, Santa Claus speaking.
It's the only chance you have to talk directly to the big man himself.
This is Santa Claus here.
Hello.
Thank you very much for the lovely letter you sent in.
If you want to send a message to Santa, all you've got to do is email mooney@rte.ie, or you can send your letter to Santa, care of the Mooney Show, RTE Radio 1, Donnybrook, Dublin 4. And then tune into the Mooney Show from 2 p.m. on Christmas Eve on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Stephen Falloon, so you've got another one for me.
I do indeed. It's back to Monty Python again. This one is Michael Palin from the Monty Python show singing a wee song. And the humour in it, and my favourite type of humour is when something starts, and I think we've been having this today, when something starts and then it goes in a completely different direction. And then it goes in a different direction. So you can never guess what's going to happen. And this one is a classic example of that. It's Michael Palin singing a butch manly song called The Lumberjack Song.
I didn't want to be a barber anyway. I wanted to be a lumberjack. Leaping from tree to tree as they float down the mighty rivers of British Columbia. The giant redwood, the larch, the fir, the mighty Scots pine, the smell of fresh-cut timber, the crash of mighty trees. With my best girlie by my side, we'd sing, sing, sing. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night, I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
I cut down trees, I eat my lunch, I go to the lavatory. On Wednesdays I go shopping and have buttered scones for tea.
He cuts down trees, he eats his lunch, he goes to the lavatory. On Wednesdays he goes shopping and has buttered scones for tea.
I cut down trees, I skip and jump, I like to press wildflowers. I put on women's clothing and hang around in bars.
He cuts down trees, he skips and jumps, he likes to press wildflowers. He puts on women's clothing and hangs around in bars.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. I can see why you really liked it.
And I really like it. And I really like your dress as well.
I know, do you like the dress that I'm wearing today?
Oh, it's very, very good. Anyway, listen, we haven't got very much time left, but I'm going to be very savage. Let me first of all thank June Rogers, Noel Cunningham and Stephen Falloon for coming into the programme today. You're very...
Thank you.
Thank you.
And happy
Christmas to all of you.
And thank you.
On today we had David and our broadcast coordinator Sinead Renshaw, and the producer is Anna Letty. I'm going to choose one of your sketches, June.
Oh, that's a treat.
Oliver Bond, do you remember it? My
Bond.
Favourite.
How are you? How's it going, horse? The name's Bond. Oliver Bond. I work for Garda Intelligence. I know, but that's a contradiction in terms. I'm a street fighter. I've a license to mill. I was sitting in my office the other day when this tall blonde walked by the window. I could see she was tall. My office is on the 17th floor. The phone rang. It was me PA. Miss Spendapenny. She was ringing from the jacks again. She said, "Is that you, Oliver? Get your cacks over to my place, big boy. There's nobody here." I went over. There was nobody there. Wrong address. I hailed a taxi. The taxi pulled up with a jerk. The jerk got out and I got in. I said, "St. Bridget's close." He said, "Don't worry, I'll try lose her at the next light." He took a corner at 80 miles an hour, but a big fat guard made him put it back. When I got to Miss Spendapenny's, she opened a door in her negligence. Funny place to have a door. She greeted me with a burning kiss. Then took the woodbine out of her garden. She took me into the living room. There was a copy of Howie magazine on the coffee table with her mug on the cover. She picked up the mug and finished her coffee. I asked about her husband. "Don't worry about him," she said. "He's burnt out." "In the bedroom?" I asked. "No," she said, "in the crematorium." She took me to the bedroom. I could see the curtains were drawn, but the bed was real. I ran my hands through her long, curly black hair. But she didn't like being tickled under the armpit. "There's something you should know before we start," she said. "I'm a schizophrenic." I said, "What the hell, the more the merrier." Afterwards, she said it was the best 10 seconds of her life. It was only then I saw the dead body lying on the floor. "Who's that?" I asked. "He's an actor out of Fair City," she replied. "His name's Ratter." It was only then I recognised the ham. I decided to make myself scarce. But where would I find the Atkins diet book at that time of night? I said, "I'm off." She said, "So that's what the smell is?" I held her close, she cried, and the tears streamed down her back. Did I tell you she was cross-eyed? Well, I gotta go now. I've gotta do this again tomorrow night in front of a live audience.
Well done, June.
That was one of our programmes, the Mooney on Tour, but it must have been in the Tivoli, I think.
Yes, it was, actually, because there was a man and his wife who actually came to the show afterwards. That day he brought me up a bar of chocolates and he brought me another bar up the Red Cow.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely. Anyway, they're going to miss you. Thanks again, guys, for coming in. Much appreciated. Don't forget, if you want to get your loved ones to write to Santa, do it now. Write to Santa, care of the Mooney Show, RTE Radio 1 in Dublin 4. Email mooney@rte.ie. Special programme next week with Sister Rita Lee. You'll know her. She's the Irish nun. She's on that BBC series, Sister Rita to the Rescue. Fascinating interview. Till then, bye!
Merry Christmas!
follow us on Twitter at RTE Mooney.